Bible. I gave you a handout on Genesis, kind of a breakdown of all the chapters, and we'll get this covered. Chapter 25, Abraham and Sarah. Sarah dies, and Abraham acquires a new wife. Now, Abraham again took a wife, and her name was Keturah. Now, when you look at this, you've got to understand that the promise and all is still through Abraham's son with Sarah. That's where the promises were made. That's where the promises were kept. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't additional blessings to be had in Abraham's relationship with God. A lot of people think that if you're called into ministry, that's the one thing you'll do all your life, and that's one thing that you will do, and God will bless you with that. But God sometimes takes an individual from a situation to another situation and allows you to grow in the ministry, in the presentation of the Word of God to individuals. So what we're seeing here, we're seeing that Abraham fulfilled that portion of his ministry with Sarah, had a son, the son of promise, and he, because they tried to do it on their own. If you try to do things on your own with God, it's not going to work. So what we're seeing here is, now God not only has blessed Abraham and brought it into fruition, he has brought Abraham into a place where now he's blessing Abraham again because of his faithfulness. When a person is faithful to God, just because you fulfill one assignment doesn't mean that God is not prepared to continue to use and to bless you and to reward you for your relationship with Him. You know, one of the things that when I was growing up, Mom and Dad and Grandma lived with us. And on the first Saturday of the month following the third day, Mom and Dad and Grandma would go to the town and they would spend the day buying groceries, buying dairy feed and chicken feed and all this other stuff that they needed for the month. And us kids had certain assignments or chores that we had to have done before they came home. So sometimes, just as soon as they drove out of the driveway, I'd finish my chores. And then other times, I would wait until the last moment when I thought they were coming home, and I would do the chores. Now, that was my choice. And see, when God calls an individual, and we're talking about Abraham here, He gives you choices in that calling. You can go ahead and proceed to do this and fulfill what God wants you to. At this point, somebody likened it to going around the mountain. When you go around the mountain, you come back to where you started and you can go up another level. Or you can go around the mountain again. Or you can go around the mountain a third time. It's all up to you. But you see, when God lays a call on an individual's life, He will always give you options on that call. Now, Abraham has taken another wife, and she bore him Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Milead, Ishbak, and Shuah. And then it starts telling his grandchildren and his great grandchildren. Huh? Yeah. And she bore him Zimrah. I already called out those. Jokshan begat Shebad, and Shebad Dabban. And the sons of Dabban were Ashuraim, Lit Yushim, and Lunanim. And the sons, he goes on through the other sons. Verse 5 says, and Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac. See, Isaac, even though he had other sons, Isaac was the first son born of promise. When you look at the Word of God, you are looking at a man that has a son, and that man is giving, has other sons and children, but he's favoring this one. No. You have to look at it at the as the Word of God is illustrating it, to know that Abraham was blessed of God. Abraham had favor in the eyes of the Lord, right? And now Abraham had that son of promise. When he had that son, and that was possibly the only son he would ever have, by Sarah, he had the option of following the Word of God or not. Now, he also was challenged because he was asked to take Isaac, that son of promise, out into the wilderness and offer him up for a sacrifice. Now, to me, that is not, it was a test on Abraham. Because Abraham did not know that God was going to fulfill the sacrifice by another means. In other words, hey, here's your son. Now, are you going to be faithful to me and offer up that son to me? Because I gave that son to you. All right? Now, in our Christian walk, God has made promises to us, and sometimes we just set them on the back shelf and don't even look at them, like a lot of people did the family Bible. I remember everybody had a family Bible and it set out. I don't ever remember one of them ever being read. You know, but what is a book sitting on a shelf got to do with anything with you? Nothing. You don't know what's in it. There might be blank pages. But what I'm getting at is Abraham was asked for this. You know, I gave you a son. Now will you offer him up to me? Now, Abraham had knew God. In knowing God, he knew God was faithful. So that's the gist of these chapters, are getting it down to where you live to say that, you know, I have asked certain things out of you that I haven't asked other people. You see, other people hadn't been asked this. There's certain things in your life that God has given to you and required of you that He doesn't require of me. So you got to understand that God is down where you live. God wants you to understand that this word was written to you. Not everybody else in the church, even though they have it written for them, God is down dealing individually with you. You're the only one that He's concerned about. He wants you to know that He is concerned about you. He has the covenant with you. He has the word that He has given, and it's with you. So when you read the Bible, is God speaking to me? Is He looking at me? Is He telling me about, let's say, Debbie? You know, He's telling me about Debbie to show me how He was faithful to her, and in so doing, He's going to be faithful to me. You see, that's the key to understanding the Bible, is to understand that even though it's written about other people, it's written about individuals or circumstances that I'm not necessarily in. But the thing that God wants us to see in each chapter, each verse, is that He is faithful to His Word, and His Word is to enlighten you and draw you closer to Him. You know how I got to know my Father? I got to know my Father by spending time with my Father. I probably knew my Father better than any other than my oldest son. Not my oldest son, Dad's oldest son. Knew him better than any of my sisters or anything, because I spent a lot of time with my dad. I worked with him. I took him to doctors. I took him at places when I got to where I could drive and this and that and the other. He taught me how to drive. He taught me a lot of things. He taught me, you know, faithfulness, honesty, you know. And so when you spend time with an individual, you begin to understand that individual. And that's what God is showing here. He's showing that He has spent time with Abraham, and Abraham is now in another phase of his life, but God is still there. God just didn't give him one promise and then throw him away. God is with him and wants to illustrate to us that God has given His word. He has directed Abraham's life, and now He's taking Abraham into the next phases of his life, and because God is with him, he's going to be blessed. Now, here in verse 6, he said, "But Abraham gave gifts to the sons of the concubines which Abraham had, and while he was still living, he sent them eastward away from Isaac his son to the country of the east." In other words, he's setting Isaac apart from the things of this world. A good father will take a son and get him away from evil influences. There was a young boy that lived close to me that came through one evening and hit my car and boat, and I don't know what else. He was flying. But what I'm getting at is his dad, I found out who it was. I knew exactly who it was. And his dad asked me to come and see him. He said, "I've got plans for my son. And if you prosecute him or have him arrested for what he has done, even though it's an arrestable offense, he won't be able to go into the army, and he needs to go into the army to make a change in his life and get him away from drug people and all that." So I agreed with the Father that the Father had plans for His Son, and the Father was willing to pay the cost to assure that His Son was away from these people. This is what Abraham's doing here. Abraham is taking his son and separating him from the slaves and everyone else, and now he can walk with God, and he can show that one son, the son of promise, that, you know, God is faithful. And look at me, son. I was out in the wilderness. My dad was a idol maker for other people. And it was ungodly. But I met up with God, and I've talked with God, and God has showed me that He wants a relationship with individuals, not just throwing things out here. And, well, if you go to church once a year or once every 5 years, you'll be all right. No, God wants a daily walk with individuals that He can talk with them. Some of the best conversations I ever had with my dad was when we were alone together. I remember Dad would take me out into the farm, and he would sit down on the bank, and we would talk about things. And those were the most enjoyable times I ever had with my dad. You see, and that's what God is trying to get us to look at, is to understand that Abraham, even in his last days, and it seems like he's occupied with other things, he's still concerned about his son, Isaac. Now, we think of God, we think, well, God's off talking to Mama, and God's off talking to Mike, and He's off talking to... He don't have time for me. That's not true. That's not true. I'm going to say that again. That's not true. God is an ever-present help. Now, what I'm, you know, people will say, He's ever-present help in the time of trouble. Well, you know, any time that we are away from God is a time of trouble. But now in verse 7 it says, this is the sum of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived 175 years. Then Abram breathed his last and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. Now, you see, nowadays we talk about people dying of coronavirus or whatever. Do those people live out a full life with their children? What I'm getting at is not the virus. I'm getting at that in every situation, no matter what it is, God walked with Abraham until he drew his last breath. And then he walked with Abraham's son because he had promised Abraham to do so. You see, God has made promises maybe to your grandmother or your great-grandmother or your great-great-great-grandmother. Somebody asked me last night if I knew my genealogy of my family, and I said, yes, I know the workman side way, way, way back. And the first workman that we can find in recorded history was a minister and a pastor in a town that he was actually the head of the town and all this other stuff. And he was put out of church because he told the truth, and the bosses that were above him, he told on them because they had sinned. And they kicked him out, and finally someone else found out about it and restored him to his rightful position. But you see, The devil doesn't want people to tell the truth. They don't. The devil wants you to talk about anything else in service. He wants you to talk about anything else instead of preaching the word or anything like that. He wants you to be preoccupied and not listen to the word of God, not adhere to the word of God, not present the word of God to other people. You see, well, you know, so-and-so is really good in church. They're there all the time. Well, I know a lot of people that were in church for 40 and 50 years and then finally get saved. You see, it's not the church that saves you. It's God that saves you and places you in the church. You see, you can get the cart before the horse. And his sons, Isaac and Ishmael, buried him in the cave of Machpelah, which is before Mamre in the field of Ephraim, and the son of Zohar the Hittite. Now, he's buried. They know exactly where this man's buried. And it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac dwelt at Beer Lahai-Roi. Now, what I'm getting at is now you're seeing the word of God being fulfilled. He made Abraham a promise that his son would be the heir. Now, he had other children, did he not? We just read that in the first part of the chapter. He had other children. But you see, the son of promise was Isaac. And now, after the death of Abraham, that promise is carrying on in the son. Now, I told you about the first workman we could find was a minister. What I didn't tell you was every third generation after that has been a minister. My great, great, great grandfather was a minister. I did not know that. My dad had four sons. Two of them died at birth, and the oldest son and the youngest were sons. And my brother spent his time in bars, so that, I guess that mantle fell on me. When I was called into the ministry, that's one thing I did not want to do. But I prayed to God, and God showed me that that's what He wanted for my life. Now, as He's dealing here with Isaac, He is beginning to show that I'm no longer dealing with Abraham, I'm dealing with you. Now, you can read this Bible, you can read it from Genesis to Revelation, and back the other way from Revelation to Genesis, and you will you could read it all day long. But until you get to the point where you yourself take the Word of God and apply it to your heart, it doesn't mean anything. We see the transition here from Abraham to Isaac. God's no longer talking to Isaac here on earth. He is presented Isaac the mantle, and now Isaac is the one that is going to carry the covenant of God forward. You see, my father is gone. My grandfather is gone. My great-grandfather is gone. My great-great-grandfather is gone. God's not talking to me through them anymore. He is talking to me as an individual. God wants us to know that He deals with generations, but you are the individual that he is concerned with now. In other words, all this didn't end with great-great-grandpa. This is brought forward, and now this is the genealogy of Ishmael, Abraham's son, whom Hagar, the Egyptian, Sarah's maidservant, bore to Abraham. And these were the names of the sons of Ishmael by their names according to their generations. The firstborn of Ishmael, Nebajoth, then Kedar, Adbel, Mibsham, Hadar, Timah, Jeur, Nephish, and Kedemar. These were the sons of Ishmael, and these were their names by their towns and their settlements, 12 princes according to the nations. Now, when you look at this, you're seeing 12 sons by 12 nations. Doesn't that sound familiar to you? Doesn't that sound like the tribes of Israel? You see, the devil does not have anything new. The devil mimics God. He said, I will set myself up as God. See, he doesn't come up with anything new. He has nothing. He is nothing. We give him far more credit than he deserves. You remember the guy on TV that used to do voice impressions? And he did everybody. I mean, I forget the guy's name, but he did everybody's impression. And he sounded just exactly like them. And if I had my eyes closed and everything, I might even think that was who was talking to me. But you see, God deals directly with an individual. Now, somebody else can mimic my wife's voice, but I know enough about my wife to know what type of person she is and what she would say. And it doesn't take you long to figure out that's not who's talking to me. I'm trying to illustrate to you that here you're going to see a divide and a mimic by the world to do what God does and say, look here, this is just as good as this. But it's not. The world's voice is never equal to the voice of God. God wants us to understand that He is an ever-present help in the time of trouble. If you are doing anything and you could just take a second and think, he said, he that dwelleth under the shadow of the Almighty. And I know for a fact, when sometimes my wife and I are walking together, her shadow falls on me. But if she's 20 yards ahead of me or 20 yards behind me, her shadow doesn't even come close to me. So that tells me one thing with the Word of God is that when the shadow of the Almighty falls on me, He's got to be walking pretty close to me. Amen. Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for Thou art with me. You see, we're promised through the Word of God that God has an individual interest in your life. He wants you to understand that as He walked with Abraham, He'll walk with you. And when your mission here is done, He'll continue to bless you. That's what He was doing here. He was showing that after Sarah had died, He blessed him with another wife. He blessed him with other children. He continued to bless Abraham because Abraham walked with God. You see, that's the key to all this, is to understand that this word is not just written to fill in book pages. It's written to give you visual indication of the love and the concern of God for your life, and how He walks with you and talks with you and calls you His own. You see, that's the key here, is the promise is not coming through Ishmael, it's coming through Isaac. Ishmael is an illegitimate son. He wasn't married to the handmaiden. He owned the handmaiden. So that tells me two things about Ishmael and what Sarah and Abraham did. They tried to do for God what they were not asked to do. God didn't tell them to do that. God, even though Sarah was in her 90s and Abraham was near 100, or 100, I forget exactly, but what I'm getting at is, it doesn't matter your age, it matters your relationship with God. You know, you may not be able to go out and street witness, you may not be able to go out and teach big classes or anything else, but there's that one individual that's a next door neighbor that all of a sudden, I remember one time I did a little routine where I'd make an airplane, and I would talk about going to heaven and that airplane. I said, you know, you, in order to get up in the sky, you got to have something to get there with. And, you know, if you want to fly from the East Coast to the West Coast, you got to have a ticket. If you want to go to heaven, you got to have a ticket. I've got a ticket because I know Jesus Christ, and I would cut that piece of paper in two and take one part of it, and there would be a cross, and I'd say, that's my ticket to heaven. That's my relationship with God. I've got His promise because He gave me the ticket to get there. And then when I took all the other pieces of paper in that little folded up airplane, and I laid them out, I said, if you don't know God and you don't know what's going on, I said, and you don't trust in Him, there's only one place for you to go. And I would take all those little pieces of paper and I'd tell them, this is everything you ever did in your life. And I would lay them out, and that when you lay those out, it spells hell. And people would look at that. And I did that at a friend's house, and I showed a neighbor that, and that neighbor took off. I said, well, I must have offended him. And he said, no, you didn't offend me. You just convicted me, and I went home and asked Jesus to be my Savior. And see, that's the key, is to getting into a relationship with God, not that it's all this other stuff, but that God has provided. Verse 17, these were the years of the life of Ishmael, 137 years, and he breathed his last breath and died and was gathered to his people. They dwelt from Havah as far as Shur, which is east of Egypt, as you go toward Assyria. He died in the presence of all his brethren. This is the genealogy of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah as wife, the daughter of Bethlehem and Siron of Padah, Aram, the sister of Syria. Laban, the Syrian. Now Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord granted his plea, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. But the children struggled together within her, and she said, if all is well, have any eye like this? So she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb, two people shall be separated from your body. One person shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. And everybody knows that story where, you know, he grabs him by the heel as he's coming out and all this other stuff. But what we're getting at here is we understand that God is looking into the future and showing that it's not always the one that you think that's going to serve God. It's not always, you know, you would have thought my older brother would have taken over the family and would have, you know, took dad's place. My brother and mother lived 40-some years after my dad died. 30-some years. But see, my brother didn't do that. And what I'm getting at is you can pretend to walk with God, but not walk with God. Not allow God to have first place in your life and see that God wants you to bless other people in your life. Through you. There's the word that has to be taught. Who's going to teach the word? Do we want to teach because all we want to do is have everybody looking at us? Or do we want to teach to show that God is the one that is we serve, and in serving God, God is the one that has blessed us, shown us many things, done many things through us. You see, the only claim to if I had any fame or anything like that, it was because I tell people about Jesus. And why can I tell people about Jesus? It's because I have experienced a life with Jesus. You see, when we know Him as an individual, you know, I've talked to you about my dad. You probably know a few things about my dad. But you never knew my dad. You see, it has to be a personal relationship with God. It has to be knowing that in this situation, in every circumstances of life, whether this one lived or dies or whatever, God is an ever-present help. And as we look at the hand of God and we reach out to God, God is equally reaching out to us to show His Word. It's not just talking about other people in all the world. It's talking about you. God is no respecter of persons. What He does for you, He'll do for anybody. What He does for anybody, He'll do for you. So, as we're reading through the book of Genesis, I gave you a handout on the Genesis, and it shows you some details here about each chapter, what they're meant for, how many chapters are in there. It's a history and all that other stuff. But what he's trying to get across to us is, look, I created the heavens and the earth. And I created the people in that. And there's not one individual that I do not love less than He loves you. Or there's no one He loves anymore. The only difference in people is that some people give Him an opportunity to be a part of their life, and other people do not. That's the key. Walk with God. Begin to see this word that as He cared for these individuals, He's caring for me. As He's walking with these people, He's walking with me. He wants me to understand His word. Some people tell me, I can't understand a thing the Bible says. Really? Have you ever heard of John 3:16? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Can you not understand that? God so loved you that He gave His Son for that. All right, we'll pick it up next time, and we'll talk to you later.